We welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we welcome you as you share with us. We know today, July 2nd, 2023, is the Lord's Day before July 4th, 2023, a very, very important day. And this morning, we're going to talk about the Declaration of Eternal Independence. Our message today is about a nation and needs to realize, and think many things we need to realize, is only as free as its citizens. And if they are in bondage to sin, so is the nation. And so this message is intended to stress the necessity to be set free from sin, and only then shall we be free indeed. If you will, let's listen to the words in the Gospel of John. And John is writing, and I want to read verses 31 through 36. And if you will, let's listen to the word of the Lord. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We pause this morning and we think on this July 2nd, 23, about the great nation, the United States of America. And we ask ourselves many, many questions. And I want this to share a little bit. I'm sure probably all of you who are listening are mindful of this concerning the beginnings of July 4th and all. But we know that many came to the Americas to find freedom. But after many years of injustice and indignities brought about by King George III, the colonists had had enough. And so the citizens of the colonies had tried on many occasions to present their grievances to the king, only to have them left unheard, ignored, or penalized for bringing them up. And so on July the 2nd, very, very important time, 1776, the Second Continental Congress adopted a resolution that prompted the writing of a document that would declare a split from England. And on July the 4th, 1776, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 56 men from 15 separate states signed the document that we know as the Declaration of Independence. The United States Declaration of Independence opens with these memorable words: "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among them the powers of the earth, the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes that impel them to the separation." And so it begins, and so begins. And a person has said it and said it so well. A preacher of the gospel by the name of Dwayne Smith said it so well when he said, possibly one of the greatest documents ever written by man. Its ideals were high. Its purpose was noble. Its appeal was to a high sovereign power, nature's God. It proclaimed freedom from a human tyrant and stated, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I'm sure that anyone who has studied the Declaration of Independence, the content and all, knows it's nothing short of a phenomenal work. Folks, the men who signed it immediately became traitors, as far as the people at that time, to the crown of England, and our war of independence ensued. They, along with all of those who stood against the tyrant, laid down their lives. Listen to me now. Laid down their fortunes, their homes, their honor, the welfare of their own families for the noble cause of freedom. A freedman ultimately bought with their blood. And so this coming Tuesday, we celebrate July the 4th, the day a nation was born. The great place, the United States of America. One nation under God. And friends, we need to praise our Lord for our tremendous heritage. We need to try to understand what has gone on in all the decades and all the times before us, and to be grateful. Yet we know, when we look at the happenings at that time, freedom from King George III in England did not bring true freedom. There is a bondage that is unfathomably greater and more cruel. No document drafted or shed blood of men can set us free from this tyrant. And that tyrant I speak of is found deep in the heart of men, and that is sin. It causes untold heartache in this life and eternal damnation in the life to come. What is the answer? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Declaration of Eternal Independence. No document drafted or shed blood of man can set us free. But the answer, friend, there is a remedy. And thanks be to God. And I say this slowly because it is so powerful and so important. And that is Jesus Christ. And we can find the Declaration of Eternal Independence, which is of greater significance in our scripture passage for today. I want to read again what we read a while ago in verses 31 through 6, and listen to what it says. "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, did you catch this? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so this morning, I want us to look at this passage and see if we can come to terms with true freedom. Friends, there is so much going on in our world. And so this morning, not only I want us to give due homage, due respect to all of those who wrote, those men who wrote and signed the Declaration of Independence, but also I want us to see that what America needs this very day, July the 2nd, 2023, as I'm bringing this message, we need and going to talk about that, the means of freedom. We're going to talk about the pretense of freedom and then the promise of freedom. And it is our prayer. May God be gracious to us, and may the captives be set free through the power of the word. Now let's talk for a moment about the means of freedom. In verses 31 and 32, I read it again. "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, this passage comes about because of what has taken place in the temple where Jesus is preaching. And he speaks of coming judgment. And we're told in verse 30 that many believed on him. And so Jesus begins to speak to those who had believed on him. Now, we note as we look at all this scripture in its entirety that there's much discussion as to whether or not these folks really professed saving faith in Christ. Whether they did or did not is not important to us this morning, because what I want us to see, what is important, is the means to freedom spoken about in this passage. And friends, there is nothing. Now, this may sound simple, it may sound trite, it may sound many things. There is nothing more important than for an individual, hopefully will study, someone study with them, then becoming a child of God, being obedient to his plan of salvation, and having the blessings that come, and sharing with a relationship with him. I know that if I could bring ministers from all different type of sectors across the spectrum, that many would say that if they are certainly a believer in the greatest book of all, the Holy Bible, they would say that we're living in times when they are gravely concerned about the Lord's body, about the Lord's church. And so we need to realize as we step back, and we need to study like people, and we're moving at such a pace. And I know I say this with much frequently, but it's so true. And sometimes what is so true, as ironic as it may seem, people really don't realize it. We need to step by and look, first of all, understand how short life is. And then we need to ask ourselves, how did I get here? Now that I'm here, what am I supposed to do? What is important for me to understand? Because I am not going to be here forever. And so it just seems like, as we look at the fruit which is coming forth, is not the case. Paul, when he spoke to the Christians in the city of Rome, he said, all of us have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. In John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does the Bible tell us about how to become a Christian? What does the Bible tell us as to how we can grow in Christ, stay connected with Christ, and so we can finish life's journey and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over many things. I will make you ruler over many. Well, we know that, first of all, that we're told to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe with all of my heart, friends, that God's Son, Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And we notice that when Jesus called people, he always called them publicly, and he asked them to confess that they believed in Jesus. And we read in the Roman letter where he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, listen, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then also we know that there must be a repentance in our lives. And that's so important. Maybe we don't talk enough about that. Not only that when we give our lives to Christ, this means of salvation is our freedom, is that we realize, and we can only really be truly converted if we realize, as what I said a while ago, when Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is that there must be repentance repentance for all of our sins. I think maybe some of you heard the podcast on Father's Day when I talked about the prodigal son, talked about his brother, and talked about the father. And in thinking about that message that I brought about that portion of Scripture, is that I realized and saw that how much is encompassed when repentance takes place. It's when we say from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, I ask for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of those. And with your Holy Spirit living and abiding in me, with the study of God's word, I hope by his strength and his blessings and guidance that I will not only repent, but bring forth fruit that I have repented. And then we know that we're to be baptized into Christ. Peter preached the great gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, and we read about it in the early chapters of the book of Acts. And the people were pricked in their hearts, and they said, what must we do to be saved? This is the day the Lord's church was established. And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. You see, friends, is when we read about the ordinance of baptism, listen to me closely. Every time we read about it in the Holy Bible, the candidate who was baptized was capable of believing. And the same is true today. You see, the things we do are so important. The obedience that we express is of astronomical importance. And we know that when we look at this, as we read about Jesus and his teaching and preaching, is that Jesus knew that a lot of the things that he was saying was going to fly in the face of what their teachers were teaching them. And this is why he told them to listen to him, to continue in his words, for in so doing, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, I know, and I hate to say this, but I just cannot help but feel that there are all kinds of people listening this morning, and it may be there is someone who is listening to this podcast, and you wish anything in the world that you could know peace, that you could know contentment, that you could know this freedom which is found in Jesus Christ. And so he's, in other words, they would be set free from sin and the legalism of the law that bound them so tight. You see, friends, listen to me closely. True freedom comes from a personal relationship with Christ, following him, listen, obeying his word. Where are you, friend? Where am I? Here we are. One half of 2023 is already history. Where are you? Where am I? And we know that through his shed blood, we can throw off this tyrant of sin. In him, listen to me, friends, because I know as I'm sharing this podcast that there are millions of people, they may not verbalize it out loud, but many people are saying, I just wish that I can know a contentment. I just wish I could know a greater happiness. I just wish that I could know peace of mind. I just wish that I had joy for my soul. You see, friends, Satan tells you probably that can't be found. I disagree 100%. The means for bringing about what the U.S. Declaration of Independence declared was the people for the Declaration of Eternal Independence. It is a person, and it is Jesus Christ. When we look at this scripture, not only have we been talking about the means for knowing real freedom. And friends, I'll just make a statement here that I feel very strongly about. It absolutely works. You've got to understand how Satan is going about as a roaring lion. You've got to understand the pull of Satan, and you've got to understand that it takes a lot of clear thinking. It takes a lot of fervent praying. It takes a lot of study. But I am telling you, friends, there is no way in the world that I would take anything for the hope I have in Jesus Christ. What he has meant to me from day one when I was born, to this very day, July the 2nd, 2023. And so we see that as these words were shared, that there was the pretense of freedom. In verses 33 through 35, notice what was said by the Jews. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall make me free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." Do you want to see how far bondage can take us? Look at the Jews' answer to Jesus' comment about being set free. They answered him, "We're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free?" You see, they had been in bondage to many over the history. At present, they were under the rule of Rome. They had settled for the perceived freedom they had under their captors because they seemed to get what they wanted. However, that would change, as we all know, when in 70 AD that Jerusalem was destroyed. But Jesus was talking about a bondage that was much stronger, more dangerous than any man or government. He was talking about sin. Friends, I can't help but feel that I'm fair in saying this, that a big portion of our world is in the bondage of sin. The world appears to be winning. It may be as you're listening to this podcast that you look at your life, you may not comment to anyone about it, and you may say, "I'm not really comfortable with my life. I'm not really comfortable where I am," because I really, if I would be honest with myself, I am more in love with the world and what the world has to offer than I am with Jesus Christ. So it is today. Many in the United States think they're free because of our Constitution and style of government, but they are in deep bondage. If you look at verse 34, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now, the Greek word there, servant, the Greek word is doulos, and it means slave. And every person born into the world, we know we're brought into this world of a depraved nature. And because Adam sinned, we no longer have the ability not to sin. But friends, as I look at America, July the 2nd, 2023, not being unkind, not being harsh, but looking at it in all reality, and millions this very hour across this land and throughout our world are depressed. They're worried. They're lonely. They're frightened. They're angry. They're prideful. They're selfish. They're foolish and spiteful. Free? No, I don't think so. Mark 7, 21 through 23 states that For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, said Mark, come from within and defile the man. You see, just being a citizen of a great nation such as ours does not make us free. Freedom is not free. It always has a cost. Many have died, friends, that we might have political, social, and religious freedom, and all we thank God for their sacrifice. But there is more. For these to truly be enjoyed, we must be freed from our sinfulness, and that is where the sacrifice of one, the Son of God, is the only remedy. Friend, as you're sharing this podcast, where are you today? Can you really say, "Oh, I thank God, because not only have I accepted the remedy for my sin, but I am walking with Christ. I am a student of the Bible. I am trying to live as Christ wants me to live, because I know that I'm not going to live forever on this earth. And my only hope when I'm pleased or when I finish life's journey is in Jesus Christ and the blessed hope that he gives to me. Are we truly free? Where are we? Where are you this very day? Do you know the freedom? Do you know that peace that he talks about in his word that passes all understanding? Happiness is a byproduct. Do you have happiness? And verse 35 of that 8th chapter said, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." And using the analogy of a slave, Jesus went on to explain their position within the family of God if they were in bondage. A slave may enjoy the blessings of the master, but he will never inherit the estate. In eternal terms, those who are obedient to the Lord and enslaved to sin have not, beg your pardon, those who are not obedient to the Lord and enslaved to sin have not entered the family of God and would not abide nor receive the inheritance. The Jews were very religious people, but they were bound in sin and in danger of not entering into the family of God. And in contrast to the servants who would not abide, Jesus used a play on words and said, "But the Son abideth forever." You see, the son of a family is always a member of the family in one thought. But when we look at this and we see the use of the capital S referring to the Son of God, he abides forever and those who are in him. The means of freedom in Jesus Christ is found in God's word. The pretense of freedom dooms people to rely on religion and remain in bondage to sin. And this brings us to the last point, and that is the promise of freedom. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The Declaration of the United States of America could not guarantee freedom, the kind of freedom that we're talking about here in the eternal independence. "But if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." You see, friends, those who reside in the Son are free from sin's bondage, free from sin, bondage, and death and hell. And so Paul proclaimed this to the Thessalonians in First Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The promise of freedom is guaranteed. Friend, let's all ask ourselves, how are we living our lives? At the longest, they're short. And are we a people who are enslaved and a slave to sin? And you've heard me say at different times on these podcasts, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And so in the realm of this world, our independence, Declaration of Independence, is a great document. It seeks life, it liberty, pursuit of happiness for all men. It provides the opportunity, but it does not supply what is really needed. The Declaration of Eternal Independence, found in John 8, shows us the way to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, how we ought to thank God for giving us the privilege to live in the greatest nation in this world, the United States of America. And we praise God for the Son who gave us the opportunity to realize our founding father's dream, freedom, true freedom. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." God bless America. Father, we close our message by praying and asking that we can be successful not for our glory, but for your glory in proclaiming how mankind, men, women, boys, and girls can have happiness, can have peace, can have contentment. And we know that we have to do our part. We're not a robot. We've got to do our part. And I just pray if there's anyone listening to this podcast who is not a Christian, that they will understand what was being said here in the Gospel of John. And that is, become a Christian. Greatest thing in all the world. And then stay in His Word. Seek to grow. Seek to understand so that you can be faithful unto the end. And so, Father, I just pray You'll bless every word we've shared. Forgive us of our sins. Father, if You will, bless America again.